Welcome to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is committed to the preaching of Jesus Christ crucified and risen for the justification of the sinner by grace through faith for Jesus' sake. And now a sermon from Pastor William Swirla of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church.
In the name of Jesus. Amen. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. King Ahaz was nervous, literally shaking in his sandals like a leaf blowing in the wind. His enemies to the north, Syria and the northern kingdom, had forged an alliance and were planning to attack him. The southern kingdom, Judah, was on high alert, orange, maybe even red. King Ahaz was busy inspecting the aqueduct of Jerusalem. Water is everything when it comes to national security. He contemplated cutting a deal with Egypt. You just couldn't beat those Egyptian horses and chariots for national defense. And the Lord sent the prophet Isaiah to reassure this troubled king. And his message was simple and direct and to the point. Don't worry. Don't do anything. Be quiet, listen, and trust. Those two kings that you are worrying about, the king of Syria and the king of Israel, are nothing but a couple of smoldering cigarette butts about to be snuffed out. In fact, within 65 years, the northern kingdom will be broken literally to pieces. So don't be afraid, King Ahaz. Just trust. Listen and trust. Isaiah offers a sign to Ahaz. Ask a sign from the Lord your God. Make it be as deep as Sheol or as high as heaven. Go ahead, Ahaz, ask the Lord for a sign. He's willing to give you one. But Ahaz refused. He wanted neither sign nor word. And yet, Isaiah gives him a sign anyway. Notice how he says it. Listen to what the Lord my God says. Used to be the Lord your God, now it's the Lord my God. Behold, the young woman is conceiving and bearing a son, and she shall call his name Emmanuel. And yes, I translate it intentionally that way so that you hear it the way King Ahaz heard it. A young woman is conceiving and is bearing a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. In other words, Ahaz, in the time that it takes for a young woman to conceive and bear a son, in 9 months, you will know Emmanuel, God is with us. 9 months, Ahaz, just 9 months. Don't do anything for 9 months, not even a year, 9 months. And you will see that God is with us. And moreover, in 12 short years, that is before Emmanuel knows the difference between good and evil, before he's a 12-year-old, these two kings you worry so much about will be history, gone. So trust, O king, hear the word of the Lord and trust. God is with us. Ahaz did not trust. Ahaz was faithless. He did not believe. He engineered his own salvation, and he failed. He refused the sign of Emmanuel, God with us, and so he got the opposite sign. If you reject God's salvation, there's only one alternative for you. Isaiah and his wife would have a son shortly after this conversation, and they didn't name him Emmanuel, God with us. No, they named him something else, Maher Shalal Hashbaz, my favorite name in the entire New Testament. Go ahead, you people who like weird names for your kids, name one of your kids that, okay? Maher Shalal Hashbaz, a nice biblical name, and it means this: the spoil speeds, the destruction hastens. In other words, your destruction is at hand. Not Emmanuel, Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Refuse salvation, and condemnation is all that is left for you. And then this word of the Lord, spoken through the prophet Isaiah, simply sat quietly. like seed, buried in the soil of history. And for 700 years, it just lay there, fallow, waiting for the fullness of time to come, that perfect storm, that moment when the stump of David's family tree would sprout a righteous branch. And the word of the Lord came to a young woman in Nazareth who was in the process of getting married to a man named Joseph. And she was a virgin, as most girls were in that day when they got married. Their marriage had not yet been consummated, or as the scriptures, or we politely translate it, they had not yet come together. And now she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and the Word. With God, nothing is impossible. A virgin conceives a son, and God is with us. Emmanuel. The word day has through Isaiah now takes on its fullest meaning, its fulfillment. The word became flesh and makes his dwelling among us. God is with us. He is one with us, and he's actually one of us. And he became one with us and one of us by way of a virgin mother. Eve, first woman, heard the promise of God in her virginity too. She hadn't yet conceived. And she heard that through her seed, through the seed of a woman, would come the promised one who would crush the head of the liar who had deceived her. And now Mary, the daughter of Eve, in her virginity, hears the word that fulfills all things. You will be with child by the Holy Spirit. Emmanuel, God is with us. Now, Mary and Joseph were not smart, scientific people like we are. They didn't know about the genetic code, and they didn't know about the Hubble telescope, and they didn't know about electron microscopes. But they did know a thing or two about biology when it comes to how babies are made. Yeah, they knew about that back then. You don't need molecular biology and particle physics to figure this out, see? Not even Mary believed this at first. She asked, how can this be? Because I have known not a man. That means I haven't slept with anybody yet. Isn't that cool that she could say that? Yes. She knew that virgins don't conceive. They weren't that dumb. Joseph knew this too. He knew virgins don't conceive. And you can only imagine what was going through his mind when he heard the news from Mary, his betrothed. By the way, there's a cute little video up on Facebook that kind of recreates the scene between Mary and Joseph. If it were to take place in our digital age, it's kind of cute. She sends Joseph a text. Joseph, we need to talk. And then Joseph posts a Facebook page that says, hurt and confused. It's cute, but it does make a point. What a conversation that must have been between the two of them. And Joseph didn't believe her. I don't know how much emotion I'd invest in this. I happen to believe Joseph was quite an old man at the time that he married Mary, and I don't think there was a lot of love here. But he did know a marriage contract when he saw one. He didn't believe her. And he wanted to call off the whole deal. And he could have. But it says he was a good and decent man, just. And so instead of exposing her to the public shame of the community, he planned to just call the thing off secretly, privately. Just go away. So she could marry the father of her child. And while he was thinking about this, the word of the Lord came to Joseph. It's always the word. It's always about the word. To Ahaz, to Mary, to Joseph. Without the word, there's no faith. The power of God is in the word to create, to destroy, to save. Virgins conceive. Sinners are justified, all by the word. The word is the gospel of the gospel is the power of God for salvation, Paul says. The word saves us. And so the word comes to Joseph in a dream. I love this, in a dream. Mary saw the angel. Joseph has dreams, just like his namesake in the Old Testament in Genesis, who had dreams by the word of God. And an angel in a dream says to Joseph what Isaiah once said to Ahaz, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to take Mary into your home as your wife. Things are not as they appear to be. Her child is not from another man, as any reasonable person would suspect, but by the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you, as his surrogate father, will call him Yeshua, Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And then Matthew adds this verse, or was it the angel? And you know, you can't really tell because there are no quotation marks in Greek. There aren't red letters either when Jesus is speaking, so you often don't know where he ends either. But there's no quotation marks. I think it's Matthew. But anyway, this verse, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." And so the word through Isaiah is sharpened and it's focused to a point. Not simply young woman, virgin. And not only she, but they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. There are two great miracles in the Christmas story, besides, of course, the word become flesh. The first is that a virgin conceives. It's biologically impossible, but with God, nothing is impossible. The second is that Joseph believes this. That's the second great miracle. That's the miracle of faith. Joseph heard the word of God, and the word worked faith and the obedience that comes from faith. And unlike King Ahaz, Joseph didn't reject the sign, but he received it. He received the pregnant virgin as a sign that God is with us. He took Mary to be his lawfully wedded wife, and he did not consummate the marriage, as was legally required, until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus, just as he was told to do. Joseph heard and believed, and out of faith obeyed. He did what the Lord asked of him. This wouldn't be the last time either. If you read on in Matthew, Joseph has to flee to Egypt to escape Herod on account of a dream. He returns to Israel and settles up in Nazareth because of a dream. I don't know about you, but if I'm Joseph, I'm getting kind of nervous about going to sleep at night, considering all these dreams he's having here. At each point, the word comes to Joseph, and Joseph is inconvenienced, and he's challenged, and he's tested. And the wondrous thing is he quietly, silently, faithfully obeys. In fact, there's not a single word from Joseph recorded in the scriptures. He's the perfect example of what James is talking about when James says, "I will show you my faith by what I do." Joseph shows his trust in the word of God by what he does. He is full of faith by the word and the spirit, and he is faithful. In Eastern iconography, Joseph is always depicted off to the corner of things, brooding, with the devil whispering to him over his shoulder. He's doubting, wondering, questioning. Perhaps it's true. Joseph knew enough biology to know that virgins don't conceive. And while God has a track record for intervening with childless couples, such as Abraham and Sarah, or more recently, Zechariah and Elizabeth, God never pulled off something like this, a virgin conceiving and bearing a son. And perhaps Joseph had a few of those "why me" moments that afflict the faithful when the word interferes with our lives and makes things uncomfortable and leads us in directions we normally wouldn't choose for ourselves. Haven't you had one of those "why me, Lord"? You think Joseph didn't have a few of those too? And if tradition is correct and Joseph was a much older man, who really needs this headache anyway? The pregnant virgin, a virgin mother, son of God, oh, oy. Think of faithful Joseph the next time that you are inconvenienced on account of your faith. Think of Joseph. Or the next time that you are called by the word outside of your comfort zone. Or the next time you doubt the power of God through the word to do what the word says. Baptism now saves you. This is my body. This is my blood. The gospel's the power of God for salvation. Yep. Think of Joseph, the husband of a pregnant virgin, a man of faith who believed the impossible, and by that faith did what was given him to do, what St. Paul calls the obedience of faith, without saying a word. Think of Joseph, the silent surrogate father of Jesus. This is the word that creates and enlivens faith, the faith of Mary, the faith of Joseph, the faith of you and me. This is the word that became flesh in the womb of a virgin to embrace our humanity from conception to death, literally from the womb to the tomb, and to raise our humanity up from the dead and to seat our humanity in glory at the right hand of the Father. This is the backstory of Christmas, and I'm glad you're here to hear it. The prophetic word is fulfilled. A virgin conceives by the word. A troubled husband-to-be is consoled by the word, and he believes it. You will likely hear, or perhaps you have already heard this thing that people like to say around Christmas time, that Christmas, or in fact all of Christianity, is based on myths, pagan myths. That all the elements of the Christmas story, right down to a virgin conceiving, can be found in prior paganism. And that may be true. Probably is. But it doesn't make the story false or concocted. I'd be surprised, actually, if God hadn't sown the seeds among the pagans in their myths. Just as he planted the prophetic word in Israel's history 700 years before, just as he promised a seed of the woman to Virgin Eve long ago, God never does anything without telling us. Gracious Lord, grant us the faith of faithful Joseph, who heard the word and believed the impossible, that a virgin conceived, that the word became flesh, that we sinners stand justified for Jesus' sake, and believing quietly and faithfully obeyed you. Grant this, Lord, to us all. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to Sermons from Holy Trinity. Services at Holy Trinity are Sundays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. Holy Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 15710 Newton Street in Hacienda Heights, California, and on the web at www.htlcms.org.